This is Audible.
Audible Studios presents Strong Fathers, Strong Daughters Devotional. 52 Devotions Every Father Needs. Written by Meg Meeker, M.D. Performed by Colleen Marlowe.
Introduction. I'd like to open this book with something that you might not expect. An apology. As men, many of you have been led to believe that aside from bringing home a paycheck and maybe knocking in a nail here or there, you're not much needed at home. You might even doubt yourself. You don't really know how to be a dad. You might think your wife doesn't listen to you. Your kids don't listen to you. So you might as well just shut up. You might feel that you bunk at your home. You don't actually live there. So let me say right now, I'm sorry. I'm sorry because I was there when the modern feminist movement and the pop culture that has adopted it derided and degraded masculinity. I'm here to help you regain what is rightfully yours, your role as an involved father. I know you are a good man because you picked up this book, because you want to be closer to your kids. You're on the right track. Let this truth sink deep into your being. You have what it takes to be a great dad to your kids. How do I know? Because I've talked to dads of every description. NFL football players, Joe Lunchbuckets, and high-flying executives. I've seen you with a temper that's out of control. A depression that has swallowed you up. An affair that has split your family apart. And drinking habits that have landed you in jail. I've seen you turn away from each and every one of these temptations and draw on a God-given fatherly strength and tenacity. Everything you need to be a great dad to your daughter is hardwired into your soul. It's part of being a man. You just need to find it. Believing you have failed is easy. It's easy to give up and go away. But as you know, real men don't quit. Yes, it takes work. A good marriage is harder than having an affair, for a while at least. But a good marriage is what you were made for, and it's better than any affair can be. Being a good parent takes work, but fatherhood is the greatest adventure a man can ever have. I hope in this book to help you along in that adventure, to help you discover what's within you, how to be the great dad your daughter needs you to be. I say this as a doctor who has spent decades listening to girls talk about their fathers, and I say it as a Christian who believes that your faith is profoundly important to helping you be the best man and father you can be. Bible scholars tell us that after the Old Testament was given to God's people, God went silent, for 300 years. Before these centuries of silence, God told his people something incredibly profound. See, I will send you the prophet Elijah before that great and dreadful day of the Lord comes. He will turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the hearts of the children to their fathers, or else I will come and strike the land with a curse. His last words, before the coming of his own son, were to you fathers. Who you are, what you believe, what you say and do with your children matters. It really matters. Part 1. The Need for Strong Fathers. Week 1. Calling Strong Fathers. Week 2. Today is a new day. Week 3. You have what it takes. Week 4. You are not alone. Week 1. Calling Strong Fathers. The glory of children is their fathers. Proverbs, chapter 17, verse 6. English Standard Version. I don't know why you picked up this book. Maybe someone recommended it. Or perhaps your wife or a friend gave it to you. I don't know if you're examining it in a bookstore or skimming it while riding on a commuter train. But if you are reading these words, three things are almost certainly true. One, you have a daughter you love. Two, you are a conscientious man with a good heart. Three, you desperately want to connect with your daughter and help her become a healthy adult. It could be that your daughter is a teen or a young adult who's struggling. You've tried everything you can think of to help her. To date, nothing has worked. Maybe you're at your wit's end. It could be that your daughter is still a young and reasonably compliant child, but she's growing faster than bamboo in a tropical rainforest. And while you can't shield her forever from every pain of life as she rockets toward adulthood, you want to spare her unnecessary heartache. I don't have to tell you our world is cruel to girls. Every day our daughters are exposed to ugly realities. The media assaults their worth. Peers and predators make them targets of verbal, emotional, and sexual abuse. Often by the time a troubled, hurting girl shows up in my office, she's depressed, addicted, infected with an STD, or pregnant. Some of my patients have run away from home. Others are just waiting for the opportunity. What's the solution to this daughter crisis? It depends on whom you ask. Politicians call for more studies and new laws. Mental health professionals call for more counseling and empowerment programs. Women's groups call for more sex education, birth control, and federal funding. I'm calling for stronger fathers. This is also the call of your daughter. Be strong for me, Dad. Protect me. Teach me. Show me the way. Girls think such things constantly, even when they can't or won't say them overtly. As wise King Solomon observed in the verse cited above, the glory of a daughter is her father. In my book, Strong Fathers, Strong Daughters, 10 Secrets Every Father Should Know, I expressed it this way. If you could see yourself as your daughter sees you, even for 10 minutes, your life would never be the same. From experience, I know that when fathers don't engage, when they fail to offer the masculine strength and guidance a mother is unable to provide, something goes wrong within the soul of a girl. I know this from 30-plus years of practicing pediatric and adolescent medicine. I know this also from a mountain of scientific data. This is not an opinion. It's a fact. Girls get better and do better and are better when they are guarded and guided by strong, involved fathers. Conversely, girls don't do well. They get lost and in trouble when their dads go AWOL or become distracted. No wonder the Apostle Paul wrote this sobering warning in the New Testament. Fathers, do not exasperate your children, so that they will not lose heart. Colossians chapter 3, verse 21, New American Standard Bible. Heed the sacred warning. Do not exasperate your children. How does a father exasperate or discourage his daughter and cause her to lose heart? I've seen this loss of heart happen in two primary ways. One, when a dad is guilty of being harsh and making unreasonable demands. And two, when a dad is guilty of gross inattention and neglect. But I've also seen something else. I've seen fathers who nurture their daughters and enjoy great relationships with them. They do this by heeding the divine call to move strongly into their daughters' lives. These girls are heartened, encouraged, and brimming with confidence. The place to begin is with this essential truth. God is calling you. Being a father is a divine summons. This call transcends what I think as a doctor. It's bigger even than what your daughter wants or needs. Sadly, many men have difficulty hearing and embracing this high and noble calling. That's because for decades, fathers have been mocked and demeaned. Cultural voices ridicule your authority and deny your importance. Internal voices challenge your competence and suggest your efforts will be futile. I want to encourage you to turn away from all that noise and listen to that other voice. Being a strong father is a high and holy calling, but it's not a walk in the park. Being a dad is always tough, sometimes even terrifying. But like any great and worthy cause, when the risks are great, the rewards are even greater. Late in life, Abraham was called by God to leave his homeland, go to a faraway place, and trust that his infertile elderly wife would give him a son. He risked looking like a fool. But because he faithfully followed God's call, the nation of Israel was born. Moses was called by the Almighty to lead his fellow Israelites out of Egypt. He risked death, rejection, and failure. But because he went, millions found freedom and made their way to the promised land. Paul was called to preach the good news to people across Asia and Europe. He risked his reputation and his life, enduring great hatred and abuse for announcing a message of love. But because he heeded the call of God, countless people through the ages have found hope and redemption. Instead of choosing to make excuses, these men chose to make a difference. This is the mark of a great man. Being all in when it comes to being a father to your daughter is as important as anything you'll ever do. Will you heed the call? Pray. God, there's so much I don't understand about being a father, especially being the father of a daughter. But I have to believe you entrusted me with this precious child for a reason. And the truth is, if I don't step up to the plate, who will? If I don't answer the call to guard her and guide her through life, who will? I don't want to exasperate my daughter and cause her to lose heart. So please give me wisdom, and please supply courage. I want to be the kind of father who makes his daughter proud and who points her in the right way. Amen. Flex your dad muscles. Take a few minutes and write out a list of your hopes and dreams for your daughter, such as, I want my daughter to know at the core of her being that she is loved unconditionally by God and by me. I want my daughter to value honesty and to grow into a woman of integrity. I want to help my daughter become discerning when it comes to evaluating cultural ideas, invitations from peers, and potential friends and boyfriends. Then make a separate list of the challenges your daughter is currently facing. For example, my daughter is painfully shy and lacks self-confidence. My daughter is struggling in school. My daughter is beautiful and people only seem to notice and comment on her appearance. Take your list, review them, pray about them, and then set them as an action plan for your role as a father. Week 2. Today is a new day. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Genesis, chapter 18, verse 14, New International Version. I want to say a word to the fathers who feel like they've blown it. Let's say, generally speaking, you have a good relationship with your daughter. But last night at bedtime, you had a bad moment. You flew off the handle and made her sob uncontrollably. Now you feel like a jerk, and she's avoiding you. Or perhaps it's a bigger issue. You didn't just have a bad moment. You've had a bad year, or two. Perhaps your daughter is in trouble, or your relationship with her isn't exactly warm. And maybe the deeper, uglier truth is that you know you were largely culpable for the status quo. You didn't mean for any of this to happen, of course. But without even trying, you became too something. Too busy, too obsessed with work, too distracted at home, too harsh, too controlling, too laissez-faire, too selfish, too careless with your words. Maybe you did one or even several of those things for much too long, so that now you've got a royal mess on your hands. You're filled with hopelessness and facing a new batch of twos. It's too late. I failed her too many times. I'm too stuck in my ways to change. The situation has gotten too toxic. Here's what I wrote in Strong Fathers, Strong Daughters. Even if you feel that it's too late, that she's too far gone from you, run to find her. It doesn't matter how old you are or how old she is. She is still your daughter. You are still her father. I can't pretend to know what kind of situation you're in, and I surely can't guarantee a wonderful outcome for you, much less promise a repaired relationship by a certain date. But I will share four things that have helped me, as well as many of the fathers I know, when things seem especially bleak. Look back. There is value in reviewing where we've been. Happy memories can fill our hearts with joy. For this reason, you should rehearse and retell all your fun family stories again and again. They're helpful when hard times come. They serve to remind us, life wasn't always like this. In a similar way, hard memories, while not fun to ponder, can also be useful. If we're wise, negative incidents in our past can serve as warnings. That's why so many of the Hebrew Psalms recount Israel's worst failures. Our painful experiences contain valuable lessons, if we'll only search for them. It's important to look back and laugh. We should also look back and be sobered. But the one thing we must resist doing when looking back is wallowing in regret. Beating yourself up over things that are unchangeable serves no good purpose. What's done is done. You can't unsay words or undo actions. So what can you do? Look within. When you find yourself in an introspective mood and perhaps moving toward a place of unhealthy regret, stop and examine your heart. Ask yourself, have I sincerely sought forgiveness from God and from my daughter or anyone else I've hurt? Have I taken responsibility for the things I shouldn't have done, and also for the things I ought to have done but didn't? If you've answered yes to those questions, that's all you can do. You can't erase or rewrite the past, but you can begin writing a new future right now. If today is not exactly a do-over, at least it's a new day, another chance. Look forward. If you remember the story of the Apostle Paul, you'll recall he was a man with quite a past. As a young adult, he was devout in his Judaism to the point of being fanatical. He participated in arresting Christians and endorsed the execution of their leaders. Yet when Paul himself was unexpectedly, miraculously converted, he experienced a breathtaking transformation. This great enemy of the Christian faith became its most ardent defender. Though at times Paul must have been haunted by certain details of his past, his mindset was clear. I focus on this one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. Philippians chapter 3, verse 13. New Living Translation. This is a great principle for fathers who feel like they've made too many mistakes. Instead of focusing on all the wrong things you did or all the positive things you failed to do, look forward, glean whatever lessons you can from your failures and move on. Focus on what you can do as you move into the future. Ask yourself, what one thing can I do today? Look up. In my book, the eighth secret of being a strong father is to teach your daughter who God is. In that chapter, I point out that every dad forgets recitals or loses his temper because no dad is perfect. Every father needs to have a bigger, better father at his side. God is that father. He's the one we can turn to when we blow it. The promise of the Bible is that when we humbly acknowledge our mistakes and shortcomings to God, He is faithful to forgive us. 1 John Chapter 1, verse 9, and give us another chance. God is also the Father we can turn to when things seem the most hopeless. Look again at the verse at the beginning of this chapter. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Genesis, chapter 18, verse 14. New International Version. It's a divine rhetorical question that God asks of the skeptical heart. Or as Christ said in Mark, chapter 10, verse 27, all things are possible with God. New International Version. You might have blown it in a moment of weakness, or you might be coming out of a long season of neglectfulness. But because of the power and goodness of God, there's hope. It's not too late. The situation is not too far gone. Today is a brand new day. Pray. God, I can think of 1,000 moments, maybe 10,000, when I said or did the wrong thing. I rest in the promise of your forgiveness and thank you for your grace and mercy. Help me this day. Give me the humility to see where I need to make amends. Give me the courage to start anew with my daughter. Give me the hope and trust that you are at work in ways I can't see. Amen. Flex your dad muscles. If you've had failures as a father, remember that today is a new day and you can take steps to make things right. First, pray for humility. If your relationship with your daughter is badly damaged, you might want to get advice from your wife or pastor. But if possible, go to your daughter. Run to her. Use the phone only if she's far away, but avoid texting or emailing. Sit with her. If she's small, put her in your lap and hold her. If she's older, sit face to face. take full responsibility for any wrong words, actions, attitudes, or tones of voice. Name your failures. Tell her you're sorry. Look her in the eyes. Ask her to please forgive you. Be careful about making promises like, "I will never do such a thing again." That's a noble intention, but a dangerous statement to make. Future failures after such promises do incalculable damage to a daughter's heart. Instead, tell her you want desperately to change and will work hard to do so. Tell her you want more than anything to regain her trust and respect. Assure her of your love. There is no stronger lesson in humility than a dad who is willing to admit the error of his ways. When you do this, you teach her not to play the victim, point the finger, or to justify or rationalize her own wrong actions. Week 3. You have what it takes. For I can do everything through Christ, who gives me strength. Philippians chapter 4, verse 13. New Living Translation. The number one question of men is not, "Is the game on?" or "What's for dinner tonight?" or "Are we out of beer?" According to best-selling author John Eldridge, it's, "Do I have what it takes?" A man wrestles with this question all the time. He asks, "Can I pull off this deal, land that job, win her attention and affection, start my own business, support a growing family, complete a triathlon?" Men routinely ask some version of this question when dealing with their daughters. "Can I be the kind of father she needs? Can I figure out how to get her through this dark time? Will I be able to protect her? How can I survive this silly phase, this boy-crazy season of her life, this I hate myself, you, and everything else stage, this diva phase?" Here's what I want to say to you. When it comes to fatherhood, the answer is yes. You have what it takes for three very simple reasons. 1. You are a creature made in the image of God. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. You have a heart that is able to love. You have a mind that is able to think. You have a will that is able to act. In your essential humanity, you have all that. You clearly have what it takes. But there's more. 2. You are a man. I know it is politically incorrect to say this, but my medical career and my experience as a wife and mother have confirmed this truth. Every bit of your manliness, your strength, your masculine perspective, and your fatherly guidance will be needed to raise a healthy daughter. 3. You have maturity. Even if you fear you're not mature enough for the sobering responsibilities of fatherhood, guess what? You are more mature than your young daughter. I can hear the protest. "Yes, Dr. Meg, but being a father is a scary business. I've never done this. I'm not wise enough." Let me remove some of the pressure. Your daughter doesn't need King Solomon. She doesn't need you to be rich or to be a genius or to be anything that you aren't. God decided she needs you. Are there things you don't know? Of course. And that will always be true. So keep learning. But just as important, pass on the things you do know. You have a lifetime's worth of experience. At the end of his first letter to the church at Corinth, the Apostle Paul gave this stirring command. "Be watchful, stand firm in the faith, act like men, be strong. Let all that you do be done in love." 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 13 and 14. English Standard Version. Act like men, be strong. Here's the question. Do you really believe God would have given such a command? And do you think he would have given you your daughter if he didn't believe you have what it takes? You don't have to be a millionaire or a genius to be a strong father. But you have to be available. You have to be willing to engage. A successful dad is a dad who takes an active role in his daughter's life. In Strong Fathers, Strong Daughters, I wrote, "You might not be able to single-handedly change popular culture or reform school curricula. But what you say and do, the example you set, and the leadership you provide can absolutely keep your daughter on the right track, or put her back on it. Your influence is that important." In other words, you have what it takes. Pray. God, I pray that through your grace, I might have greater faith in you and greater confidence in the abilities you have given me. With Christ's help, I know I can do what I need to do, especially when it comes to being a father to my daughter. Amen. Flex your dad muscles. Take stock of your strengths, abilities, blessings, and experiences, things that you can call on in raising your daughter. Make a list and reflect on it. Your list might look something like this. Strengths. My great love for my daughter. My great love for her mother. My experience as an athlete. Persistence, grit, determination. My skill as a hunter. Patience. A willingness to be silent and watch. My knowledge of nature. The example of my own father. My faith. An inquisitive, practical, problem-solving mind. A compassionate heart. A desire to protect those I love. Week 4. You are not alone. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Jesus Christ in Matthew. Chapter 28, verse 20. New Living Translation. Everybody talks about how difficult being a parent is, but few people talk about how lonely it can be. I know from countless interactions with parents that mothers and fathers of special needs kids feel this loneliness acutely, as do single parents, and all parents feel it to a degree when their children are struggling. The internal voices during such times can be stern and cold. Nobody wants to hear your sob story. Suck it up. Deal with it on your own. And the voices can be brutal. How could you let this happen? Clearly you're not going to win Father of the Year award. Come to think of it, why don't you go ahead and turn in your dad card? Nobody else's daughter has this problem. Perhaps you hear such voices, or others like them. If so, tune them out. They're not true. You're not the only father who's struggling, not by a long shot. And don't buy the lie that someone else, a neighbor, church member, or co-worker is the perfect father. That's not the case. As I often remind the parents of my patients, even God Almighty, the one perfect father, has messed up kids. There's no such thing as a perfect father, and your daughter doesn't want one. And remember this, you don't have to make this journey alone. Every dad at some point will need encouragement and reinforcements. Even the strongest athletes get tired, and dads, like ball players, need a team around them to succeed. That team can include your wife, teachers, pastors, your own parents, a whole variety of people. I love what Woodrow Wilson once said. I not only use all the brains that I have, but all I can borrow. The truth is, you're not alone. Besides all the people around you, there is the astounding declaration of the Judeo-Christian scriptures that God is omnipresent. In the New Testament, Christ is introduced as Emmanuel, a name that means God with us. At the end of his earthly ministry, he gave us this assurance, I am with you always. Matthew, chapter 28, verse 20, New Living Translation. And not long before that, he promised the faithful he would send his Spirit to live in their hearts. Christ called the coming Spirit the Helper, insisting he will be with his followers forever. John, chapter 14, verse 16, English Standard Version. If all these mind-boggling claims and statements are true, and for the record I am convinced they are, then you are not alone. God is with you 24/7, whatever your struggle or need. Help is available. The Almighty, the Helper, is only a prayer away. What about the rest of your team members? Your wife? Years ago, Father Theodore Hesburgh of Notre Dame famously said, "The most important thing a father can do for his children is to love their mother." His point was that a strong marriage is a father's best tool for raising strong, healthy kids. It's exactly what the Hebrew Scriptures say. Two people are better off than one, for they can help each other succeed. If one person falls, the other can reach out and help. But someone who falls alone is in real trouble. Ecclesiastes, chapter 4, verse 9 and 10. New Living Translation. Being on the same page with your wife is a huge advantage. Even if you are divorced, your daughter will benefit if you work with her mother as an ally rather than an adversary. I know, given circumstances, this might be easier said than done. But I've seen, among the parents of my patients, how sensitivity, respect, and constructive compromises can go a long way. Other fathers. Get to know the dads of your daughter's friends. You'll inevitably swap stories and learn something as a result. I've seen men become better, more attentive fathers by bouncing ideas off each other. As it says in Proverbs chapter 27, verse 17, iron sharpens iron, and one man sharpens another. English Standard Version. A support group. Many churches have support groups for young mothers, single fathers, parents of special needs children, and so on. Many parents find friendship, instruction, and renewed hope by coming together to celebrate and commiserate, to share tips and say, "You too? You mean I'm not the only one with this problem?" Joys shared, as the old saying goes, are joys multiplied. Sorrows shared are sorrows minimized. Counselors and medical professionals. In crisis situations, there are doctors and therapists with the special training who can help you. Listen to your gut. If you are sensing, "This is too big, we need professional help," follow your instincts. Here's the bottom line. You are not alone. God not only made you a father, He gave you a family, a church, a community that is there for you to use, and He means you to use it. Pray. God, thank you for making me a father and for the help you provide as I find my way. I pray that I might always remember that you are with me, and that I can always turn to you, and that you have provided me with people I can rely on. Give me the humility to admit when I'm struggling, and help me to seek support when I need it. Amen. Flex your dad muscles. Here are three quick projects to reinforce the fact that you are not alone. 1. Memorize Christ's promise. And be sure of this: I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Remembering this eternal truth will produce peace in your soul. 2. Get to know the dads of your daughter's closest friends. Not only might their friendship enhance your life, your shared experiences of fatherhood might provide comfort and useful advice. 3. Talk to your own dad, or reflect on your experiences with him, and think of how you can use his fatherly wisdom or his fatherly mistakes in your relationship with your daughter. Part 2. The Priorities of Strong Fathers. Week 5. The Priority of Family. Week 6. The Priority of Faith. Week 7. The Priority of Love. Week 8. The Priority of Integrity. Week 9. The Priority of Example. Week 10. The Priority of Forethought. Week 11. The Priority of Peace. Week 5. The Priority of Family. Those who bring trouble on their families will have nothing at the end. Proverbs, chapter 11, verse 29. Good News Translation. One of the most devastating things a father can do is put work or hobbies or trivial pursuits above his family. You might remember the 1991 Steven Spielberg film Hook. It stars the late Robin Williams as Peter Banning, Peter Pan, the boy who vowed to never grow up. But Peter has grown up. What's more, he's become a driven, workaholic businessman. Right at the outset of a family vacation to London, Peter's latest deal, a $5 billion corporate takeover, begins to unravel. As Peter works feverishly to rescue his deal, his wife, Moira, grabs his cell phone and hurls it out the window into the snow. He's shocked and angry, until he hears her say these sobering words. "Peter, your children love you. They want to play with you. How long do you think that lasts? Soon Jack may not even want you to come to his games. We have a few special years with our children, when they're the ones that want us around. After that, you're going to be running after them for a bit of attention. It's so fast, Peter. It's a few years and it's over. And you are not being careful. And you are missing it." What a chilling thought. To miss the brief window of time when your daughter is most in need of your love and attention. I don't want that for anyone. And you don't want that for yourself. So let's think together for a few moments about the priority of family. Our priorities are whatever things or activities or relationships we value most. So how can a man tell what he values? Here are some diagnostic questions for evaluating your priorities. What gets and keeps my attention? Where does my mind go when I'm not engaged in a mandatory activity? The fact is, we all think and daydream about the things we care about most. What dominates my conversation? Remember, talk is cheap, and it's easy to say certain things are important. Anyone can talk a good game in the short term. Over time, though, what topics do I return to again and again? What do I talk about most? What sorts of things do I continually tweet or post online? What fills me with passion? When and where do I get animated and excited? What lights me up or makes me come alive or perhaps even moves me to the point of tears? What are the things I gladly spend my money on, maybe without even thinking twice? Possessions are necessary. Hobbies are fun. We all need some outlet for recreation. But what does it say about my priorities if I am willing to pour money into a hunting camp or a man cave, but am reluctant or unwilling to set aside funds for experiences with my daughter or my family? Where does my time go? This is maybe the clearest indicator of all. It's a blunt but true reality. We make time to do the things that matter most to us. Are you squirming yet? That's a tough list, not for those who are faint-hearted. But truth be told, most people squirm when faced with these questions. The point here is not to beat yourself up. The goal is simply to assess. As Sigmund Freud noted, being entirely honest with oneself is a good exercise. It's not always fun, but it's good. Since you're listening to this book, you probably want your daughter and your family to be your top priority. If an honest assessment shows they're not, the good news is you can start again today. Strong Fathers, Strong Daughters provides an explanation of why time with your daughter is so important. From the moment you set eyes on her wet from the womb body until she leaves your home, the clock starts ticking. It's the clock that times your hours with her, your opportunities to influence her, to shape her character, and to help her find herself, and to enjoy living. Time is what your daughter wants most from you. Nothing communicates the priority of family more than the willingness to spend relaxed time with her. Nothing makes a girl feel more valuable than recognizing her father enjoys her company. Knowing that you want her to join you in your everyday activities, when you do chores, run errands, stop at your office for a moment, or just take a walk, lets her know that you really enjoy being with her. This will make a huge impact on her sense of value. You don't have to continue to be a busy, driven, scattered, preoccupied dad who is there but not really there. You don't have to look back one day and say, "If only," or wistfully ask with Dr. Seuss, "How did it get so late, so soon?" Make your family a top priority. Don't put it off. "You may delay," Benjamin Franklin once warned, "but time will not." Pray. "Lord, I need help. My priorities need work. Without meaning to, I've put trivial things ahead of the truly important things. I'm sorry about that. I pray that with the help of your grace that I might properly reorder my priorities, putting my family before all else but you. Amen." Flex your dad muscles. Make a special date with your daughter. Ask her what she'd like to do, within reason, of course. Then set aside a night or a Saturday and simply be with her. Don't spend those hours checking scores on your cell phone or making work phone calls. Don't zone out. Be there. Be attentive. Be fully engaged. Be all in. If she is little and wants to have a dress-up tea party, do it. If she wants to go eat bad pizza and play games with a lot of other screaming kids, do it. If she's older and wants to go eat overpriced sushi, do it. If she wants to drive 3 hours to see a big concert featuring her favorite boy band, do what you have to do to make that happen. Ask her questions. Talk to her. Listen to her. Be silly. Listen to her favorite songs on the radio and sing together. Tell her stories from your past. Have fun. Nothing communicates, you matter, you are important, you are my precious priority, more than a cheerful willingness to spend time with your daughter. Week 6. The priority of faith. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4, New International Version. In Strong Fathers, Strong Daughters, I make the bold statement that God is good for girls. Our culture increasingly rolls its collective eyes at claims like that. Many media elites label religion, especially denominational Christianity, as regressive, unintelligent, even psychologically harmful. Lest I be accused of bias, let me say I agree that some people of faith, through messed up motives and misguided actions, have given credence to such charges. But let me also note that I've seen the power of authentic faith. I've read scientific studies and interacted with thousands of girls and young women as patients or as friends. I can cite a mountain of research and a pretty big hill of real-life examples from my personal experience to make the case that your daughter needs you to help her grow in faith and come to a clearer understanding of God. If that's not enough, fathers have a clear biblical mandate to bring up their kids in the training and instruction of the Lord. But for some dads, this raises a conundrum. If my own faith is shaky or non-existent, how can I help my daughter spiritually? As the late Howard Hendricks correctly observed, we cannot impart what we do not possess. Christ put the issue in question form. Can one blind person lead another? Won't they both fall into a ditch? Luke, chapter 6, verse 39, New Living Translation. No man wants to be that father who hypocritically says to his daughter, "Do as I say, not as I do." If faith is good for daughters, then wouldn't it be true that faith is also good for dads? Is it possible that faith needs to be a bedrock value of every father? I want to challenge you to wrestle with this topic and ask yourself, what are my spiritual views and values? What do I believe about God? You may not be sure how to answer these questions. That's okay. The fact that you're reading this devotional tells me you're open to the question of faith. Don't give up the search. In fact, seek to cultivate the following habits. Read the Bible. The Bible itself says, faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. Romans chapter 10, verse 17, English Standard Version. Our faith in God grows the more we pay attention to what he has revealed about himself in the pages of Scripture and through Christ. Sadly, many people reject the Bible without even reading it. They dismiss it solely on the basis of what others have said. I would counter by saying, don't take the word of others. Read it for yourself. The Old and New Testaments are not a haphazard collection of disparate writings. They comprise one continuous story. The first book of the Bible tells of God's creation of the world and humanity's rebellion against him. The next 64 books of the Bible unveil God's redemptive plan in history, culminating in the coming of Christ. The last book of the Bible gives us a glimpse of the future restoration of all things. It's one epic story, and it needs to be read that way with a thoughtful, humble, inquisitive mind, and preferably a prayerful one. Pray. There are frequent encouragements to prayer in the Bible. For instance, devote yourselves to prayer with an alert mind and a thankful heart. Colossians chapter 4, verse 2, New Living Translation. But many men feel they don't know how to pray. They feel self-conscious, intimidated, ignorant. But prayer is simply conversing with God, and it's a conversation he wants to have. James chapter 4, verse 8 says, "Come close to God, and God will come close to you." New Living Translation. What should you say to the Almighty in prayer? Whatever's on your heart. If God seems far away and talking to him feels like talking to an imaginary friend, ask him to reveal himself to you. When you make poor choices, humbly confess your failures. When you are grateful, express this to God. When you have needs or concerns, ask for help. When you don't know what to do, ask for guidance. And as in any good conversation, we shouldn't do all the talking. It is not only good, it is necessary in prayer to sit still and listen for God's voice. Read spiritual classics. If you are one of those who are skeptical when it comes to the subject of faith, C.S. Lewis's Mere Christianity may help you as it has helped millions. More recent books like Tim Keller's The Reason for God or Lee Strobel's The Case for Faith are also excellent. By the way, both Lewis and Strobel were confirmed atheists who each came to faith after an honest, rigorous, intellectual search. If you have a negative view of spirituality or a bad taste for religion, ask yourself why. Has this always been the case? Is your doubt or disillusionment due to a negative experience with church or with people of faith? Was your faith in God shattered by a devastating life event? If so, perhaps Philip Yancey's Disappointment with God would be helpful to you. Practice your faith. If you believe God exists, don't stop there. Ask yourself, what difference does it make if I do believe in God? Strong Fathers, Strong Daughters, page 195. Let your faith propel you to serve others. Reflect your faith in your behavior. If you tend to be impatient, ask God for more patience. If you have a tendency to fly off the handle, trust God to make you gentler. One of Israel's great prophets said it best. He has told you, O man, what is good? And what does the Lord require of you but to do justice, and to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God? Micah chapter 6, verse 8, English Standard Version. God is good for girls. The research, which I cite in my other books, shows unmistakably that religious faith is an enormous benefit to children and teens, and yes, adults. Your daughter needs to see that God is the ultimate dad, the one she can turn to and trust in when you're not around. As a father, God is your co-pilot. He can help you guide a safe course for yourself and your family. Pray. God, help me with my faith as I strive to learn more about you, draw near you, and have confidence in you. Help me to be a faithful father so I can pass a strong faith on to my daughter. Amen. Flex your dad muscles. Faith is a very personal thing, but if you look at most of the great religions of the world, it's not really private. Faith in God always involves a community of people struggling together to know and serve him, to mourn together, to celebrate together, to encourage, instruct, remind, and challenge one another. It's no accident that Christ created a church. He was not a philosopher passing on advice to individuals, but rather the Son of God with a mission to create and expand a community of believers. Make the commitment to attend a church or a temple this week, with your daughter, of course, and the rest of your family, too. If you don't belong to a church or a synagogue, ask around and visit a congregation with a good reputation for helping people grow in their faith. We can and should pursue a personal and vibrant faith. But church is not just for marriages and baptisms and funerals. Our spiritual life is meant to be lived in the community as well. Week 7. The Priority of Love. If I know all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith, so as to remove mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. 1 Corinthians, chapter 13, verse 2. New American Standard Bible. In more than 3 decades of practicing medicine and being a parent, I've met fathers of every stripe. I've seen the disconnected ones who, partly out of guilt and partly out of ignorance, shower their daughters with expensive presents. I've seen others whose top priority is to make sure their girls enjoy great cultural and social advantages. I've interacted with some who drive their daughters relentlessly to excel academically or athletically. It's for her own good, they're always quick to say. I've witnessed morally minded fathers withhold paternal approval whenever their daughters fail to act like good girls or violate family rules. And we've all seen the wild and crazy dads who seem like they're still living out their college fraternity days. Heartbreaking are the comments of the thousands of girls and young women I've treated and visited with over the years. They consistently tell me they don't primarily want a gift-giving dad, a sophisticated dad, a success-minded dad, or a cool, fun dad. What they really want, and what they really need, is a father who loves them unconditionally. This is the great legacy of my own father. He was a brilliant, introverted man. A successful pathologist, he was sometimes distracted. He missed many of my athletic events. He didn't talk much. And lots of times he also failed to listen well when I talked. So how did I know he loved me? As I have previously written of him, I heard him worry about me to my mother. I watched him cry when my brother and I left home for college. I knew he loved me because he made our entire family go on vacations together. Most of the time I hated going, particularly when I was a teen. But he made me go anyway. He knew something I didn't. He knew that we needed time to be together. Strong Fathers, Strong Daughters, page 3. From a female perspective, may I offer 4 short reminders for dads about how to love your daughter. Love is a commitment, not a feeling. Raising your daughter will involve plenty of magical and precious moments. At times your heart will swell with affection to the point that it feels like it just might break, just by watching your daughter. But true love is sacrificial, not sentimental. A good father doesn't just show love when the mood strikes. He changes dirty diapers. He stays up with the sick kid to give his wife a break. He lays his hobbies aside for a season to spend more time with his kids. He is patient and kind and gentle, biting his tongue when he feels like uttering a stream of expletives. He even chases after the runaway teenage daughter who cursed him to his face and spit in his eye. Love is heroic action, not just noble words. In the Bible, the Apostle John urges people of faith, "Dear children, let's not merely say that we love each other. Let us show the truth by our actions." 1 John, chapter 3, verse 18, New Living Translation. Men are good at taking action, and strong fathers wake up daily with the determination to put their family first, knowing that the essence of life-changing love is selflessness, of making sacrifices, even small ones, that put others ahead of oneself. As the former Chicago Bears running back Gale Sayers famously put it, quoting his track coach, "The Lord is first, my friends are second, and I am third." Love is tough. Daughters know how to wrap dads around their little fingers. Even strong, tough-as-nails men can become weak-kneed and wilt in the face of batted eyelashes, adorable smiles, and an ingratiating, "Can I, Daddy?" But you need to stand your ground and speak your mind when your daughter tries to break your rules. King Solomon said it well. Better is open rebuke than love that is concealed. Proverbs, chapter 27, verse 5, New American Standard Bible. This kind of tough love has to walk that fine line between firmness and harshness. Not correcting misbehavior is wrong. Saying yes to everything your daughter wants is to do wrong. Genuine love is tough, because as the Bible reminds us, love does no wrong to others. Romans chapter 13, verse 10, New Living Translation. And frankly, fathers who are pushovers are not loving their daughters well. Love is gracious. The Apostle Paul expressed this better than anyone. Love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. It does not demand its own way. It is not irritable, and it keeps no record of being wronged. It does not rejoice about injustice, but rejoices whenever the truth wins out. Love never gives up, never loses faith, is always hopeful, and endures through every circumstance. 1 Corinthians, chapter 13, verses 4 through 7, New Living Translation. No wonder Paul concluded in another place, "Let all that you do be done in love." 1 Corinthians, chapter 16, verse 14, English Standard Version. Just as you need to walk the line between firmness and harshness, you need to walk the line between setting standards and picking nits. Think big. Be gracious. Focus on what really matters. Focus on expressing your love in rules for your daughter that will benefit her in the future. Because as the author Willa Cather wrote, "Where there is great love, there are always miracles." What dad doesn't want the miraculous for his daughter and for his relationship with her? Pray. God, when it comes to this topic of love, I've got a lot to learn. Forgive my failures to be selfless and sacrificial. Forgive the times I've avoided doing the loving thing because I didn't feel like it. Please give me more of a Christ-like love for my daughter. Teach me how to love her when she's not acting very lovable. Help me to be tough but tender when love requires me to draw boundaries. Amen. Flex your dad muscles. 1. Spend a few minutes reading and meditating on 1 Corinthians chapter 13, the famous love chapter of the Bible. What do you notice? What sticks out to you? Substitute your name for the noun love and see how accurately the passage reads. 2. If expressing your love verbally is hard for you, then do as the Apostle John said in the verse just cited. Love your daughter by taking action, by doing something for her good. Here are some ideas. Drive down a country road and pick wildflowers with her. Turn off your cell phone and play a board game with her. Take her out to eat and let her pick the restaurant. Play a game of cards with her. Remove the TV from her room and invite her instead to watch classic movies with you and your wife. Your daughter might scoff at first at an old black-and-white Fred Astaire and Ginger Rogers flick, but she won't for long. Watch her dance or cheerleading routine and offer encouragement. Take her to feed the ducks. Take her to a movie and then go somewhere afterward to discuss it. Clear your schedule so that you can be at her next game or recital. Give her clear boundaries. Spell out the consequences for crossing them, and give her literary examples to consider by starting a dad-daughter reading club. Here's a book she'll probably like for you to start with contrasting heroines. Gone with the Wind. Cancel your Saturday plans and take a day trip with her someplace she wants to go. Volunteer to help coach her sports team. Instead of turning on the TV, help her with her homework. Help her do one of the chores she resists doing the most. Try to make the experience fun and see if you can get her to laugh. Show her how to do something that she wants to learn to do and that you are good at, like playing guitar or hitting a golf ball. 3. Have a discussion with your wife. Evaluate ways in which your daughter has perhaps managed to work you. Wrestle with these questions. Where do we need to tighten up? Where is a firmer and tougher version of love needed? Week 8. The Priority of Integrity. People with integrity walk safely, but those who follow crooked paths will be exposed. Proverbs, chapter 10, verse 9, New Living Translation. The best dads, the strongest fathers, are men of integrity, upright and trustworthy. When engineers say a bridge has integrity, they mean that it is sound.